The book of the Revelation tonight, chapter 1, that is the last book of the Bible, chapter number 1, and we're going to read a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll join together in prayer, again asking the Lord to help us and to do with us tonight as He would please. Revelation, chapter number 1, book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. This is what God is speaking to the Apostle John, who has been banished there because of the testimony that he has held and has found himself there. But he does not remain alone. And I'm glad that the promises of God are yea. And he has promised in the book of Hebrews to never, no never, no never, to leave us alone. So he will show up in our hour of need, and he came to the Apostle John when he needed him the most. Now we're going to read, and let's read verse number 9 down through verse number 12. Revelation 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, there's a word that appears some six times in the opening chapter of the book of Revelation. And I have found that in repetition of a word in various forms that it is important. And we need to find out why that it is there. The word is see. You'll find that six times John hears the voice of God saying to him, in some form or another, says what you're seeing or saw, has seen or sawest, I want you to write that in a book and send it to these seven churches. I'm thinking that because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, was putting emphasis upon this, that there is something that John was going to see that every person needs to see in their life. So I'm preaching to you on seeing who John saw, seeing who John saw. Lord, we're asking for your anointing tonight. And God is my brother who used to travel with me when I was a young preacher. And they asked him and said, what's this about the anointing? And he said, I don't know exactly all there is to know, but I know when Craig doesn't have it. So God, I pray tonight that we'd not leave saying, well, the Holy Spirit did not help the preacher, but instead, I pray that you'd loose my stammering tongue. Thank you for the generous gift of the Spirit of God. And God, I pray that you would walk amongst us tonight as one that is a friend and touch hearts that may be troubled. Remind them that you've promised to never leave them alone. And God, I pray for those that as of yet don't know you. God, if you said in your word, if you would be lifted up, you would draw all men, all women to you. So I pray tonight that we'd lift you up. May the drawing power of the Spirit of God introduce them to a crucified Christ who is coming again. In your name we pray, amen. Here is a familiar scripture. If you've been to church at any time or any length of time at all, you've probably heard great men of God, your pastor, preach from this passage of scripture. But in its familiarity, it need not be lost to us. So we're back in Revelation chapter 1, preaching on seeing who John saw. Now John is writing, and he gives his introduction of who he is. He says that he is our brother and companion in tribulations. So he's talking to us and writing to us as a friend, as a co-believer or a co-laborer in Christ. And he wants us to know who that he is and the message and its importance that he has for us. Revelation chapter 1, seeing who John saw. Now, can you imagine, this is the same John that Bible history teaches us was put in a pot of boiling oil. The government was against believers, Christians, and were trying to exterminate them or take them from witnessing Christ. And so they had thought to do away with this beloved Apostle John and put him in a pot of boiling oil. That did not kill him. So they think, Brother Curtis Bradley, to banish him to the Isle of Patmos. Now, this Isle of Patmos is interesting. It is in the Aegean Sea. It's located just a few miles off the coast of Rome or Greece there. He is going to be placed there. He's going to be banished there, and is, they think to starve him to death. Now, let's get this in our mind. He's just been put in a pot of boiling oil. No doubt his skin is hanging lacerated from off of him. He's blistered. He's sore. He's been boiled in this oil, almost cooked alive. Now, if that was me, Brother Brian Spurlock, if someone was to roll me out into an island in the midst of an ocean and place me upon the rocky coast there, which is only a mile long and about a quarter of a mile wide at its widest point, and there's no place, Avery, for him to escape the sun, except there seems to be just one small cave or rock that overhangs, so that sea spray would be washing up on this man, and that salt water would be getting inside of his skin. No doubt he's burning. No doubt he's hurting in the flesh. But the Word of God says this: instead of becoming despondent and depressed, discouraged, Brother Danny Phillips, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that in the middle of our times of loneliness and discouragement, Brother Mike Hoggard, that there is a person, as a believer, we have confidence that he's going to show up, that he's going to come. In fact, when he comes, it's no shock, Brother Charles, to John. It's as if he was expecting him, and he just welcomes him there to a church meeting in progress on the aisle that is called Patmos. Well, who does he see? He says, "I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ," was on the aisle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, that was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voices of a trumpet. And he was saying, "I am Alpha and Omega." He feels the touch of God, the right hand of God extended, but he turns to see the voice of him that spake. And being turned, he saw something. I think that the world needs not an anemic Jesus. We don't need a weak Jesus. We need to preach who John saw, don't you? I believe for this generation and this church camp, we don't need just a babe in a manger. It's true that he was born a lowly birth. It's true that he came humble and lowly. But can I present him as he is tonight from the book of the Revelation, because he's revealing himself to this man. And Brother Wayne Ryder, he said, "John, what you see, I want you to write it and tell them who I am. I'm not weak and meek and lowly anymore. I am the King of the universe." Because Wayne, when he turned to see, he's seen the voice of him that spake, and being turned, he beheld the Son of God. Somebody said, "How can he be sure that this is the Son of God?" Well, he's seen him once before in this form. This is the same John that has gone with Peter and James upon the mount called Transfiguration, or Mount of Transfiguration. And there, when Jesus has said, "I'm going to reveal myself," and was revealed, dropped the robe of flesh that had shrouded him while that he was here, and they beheld and saw him, and his garment was white and glistering, and Moses and Elias appeared to him. Brother Mike, I believe that's important, because now in the book of the Revelation, John is not startled, but he recognizes him as he has appeared to him before, but he's never going to change from this again. But let's see who John saw. Let me hurry tonight and not wear you out. The Bible said, look back in verse number 5, chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Then in verse number 9, John says he's in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I looked at that, scratched my head, and said, who was John seeing? Well, let me introduce him to you as John saw him, young people. He is a reigning king. Brother Curtis, when John saw this one and he turned to see the voice that spake, and that voice was as the sound of many waters, and he sees him, he's not seeing a babe in a manger. He's not seeing a lacerated back. He's not seeing a pulverized crown upon his head, Brother Danny, but he's seeing a king. Can I present him as he is tonight, Miss Bradley, and say that he is a reigning king? It says in her Bible, Brother Mike, he said he is the prince of the kings of the earth. It says that he is in a kingdom. Somebody said, can you be sure that he is reigning tonight? Well, let me say it this way. He's reigning inside of my heart. But beyond that, he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And all things have been put under his dominion or subjection. The last enemy to be conquered, Brother Wayne, was death. And aren't you glad on the third day, that day he rolled back the stone? Somebody, Mary and those with her said, who are we going to get to roll the stone away? I'm glad that you find when they come to the garden that he has defeated death. He's conquered it, and the angel is setting on it to prove that death has been conquered. He is alive. He is reigning. Somebody said, can you prove that to me? Well, he was seen by many infallible proofs, appeared to over 500 brethren at one time. He is alive and he is reigning. Somebody said, I'm still not convinced. Well, let me just tell you about his kingdom. He is a reigning king, and his kingdom is different than any king of the world tonight. We don't know in the U.S. Much about kings. We're not a monarchy here. We are a republic, by the way. We're not even a democracy. Now, that'll hurt you real bad right there. Somebody said, explain the difference. Well, let me tell you and help you right there. We are a republic. We believe that we are in a theistic government, that God is the creator of the world. Amen. And our founding fathers knew that and created a government that would be governed by the people. We would elect a representative to voice our opinion and would govern us. Amen. Somebody said, what's the difference? Democracy is nothing but mob rule. Amen. Well, amen. Let me move on. But if you were a monarch and understood monarchy tonight, you would understand that the king or the queen that's seated upon the throne would rule with tyranny. They would have the absolute control of the government of the land, Brother Brian. But he's different. Aren't you glad for that? His kingdom is different than the monarchs of this world. His kingdom is made up by willing people that will subject themselves to this king. He has the authority, by the way. Somebody said, prove that to me. Well, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If we don't believe that, then we're going to have a hard time lending ourselves to subjection. But he that is the creator has power over the creature. Amen, Brother Danny. And he has the authority to rule and direct my life. But it's different. His kingdom is made up by willing subjects tonight. That is, that we must willingly cast ourselves upon his mercy. The scepter has been Lord. Well, that's a different message for a different day. But the scepter has been Lord. Grace has been extended. He has allowed us the opportunity to be ushered into his presence by the heavenly ambassador, which is the Holy Spirit, that deals with our heart and says there is a king that needs to sit upon your throne. But it's as we submit ourselves, confess our sins to him, accept him, and allow him to rule and reign in our heart, that he becomes the reigning king of our life. Well, he is a reigning king. He has a kingdom. Somebody said, prove that to me. Well, I'm looking around at several people who are part of the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad? Boy, I used to like that song. I'm so glad to be part, Sister Loretta, of the kingdom of... Boy, didn't you like that every once in a while? Sister Connie Jo, it just seemed like the Holy Ghost would move and breathe upon that as we would swell our voices together, because we had submitted ourselves and we had become part of the kingdom of God and allowed Him to rule and reign in our heart and life. He is a reigning King. He is seated upon the right hand of the throne of God, which is the powerful side and it's the power hand. He is the reigning King. The kingdom is by choice today. We have to choose to be part of the kingdom of God. Well, not only is He the reigning King, but look in verse 13. Didn't read this, but I will now. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Somebody said, what else do you have from this passage of Scripture, Brother Craig? Not only did John see a reigning King, one that is in authority, one that is in power, one that is the highest of the high, and is seated there for eternity, Brother Curtis, but he saw a robed King. Did you notice that? When he turns to see the voice that spake, he is seeing a King, but Brother Charles, he sees him robed. Boy, I got a little excited about that. Somebody said, I explained to me. Look in the book of Philippians. Let's look there just for a moment. Paul writing this to the church at Philippi. Philippians, let's look at chapter number 2. Philippians. Boy, should have marked that. Philippians chapter 2. If you need to find it fast, you usually can't. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in the earth and things in heaven, and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There was a day in eternity past, because God said from the foundation of the world, He decreed that His Son was going to be the substitutionary offering for man's sin. Brother Curtis, in eternity past, God viewed His Son as having died for man. But the day came, the Bible said, Paul writing, when in the fullness of the time, when the fullness of the time was come, God made His Son, fashioned Him in form as a man. Somebody said, what's He doing there? The world was ripe. It is an air of expectancy. Rome has made the road. They've got a common language being spoken. And God says, it's time. I'm sending My Son to the earth. And Jesus stood up, took off the robe. Somebody said, how do you know He was there? Brother Mike Hoggard, correct me if I'm wrong. When the Bible said in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2 in creation story, God was speaking and He said, let us make man. Brother Wayne, who's He talking to? Well, aren't you glad He's talking to the Son and to the Holy Ghost? Amen. There's three that agree in one, and God's agreeing together with them. And Brother Mike, He's looking to them, and they're active in creation there. But the day come, God said it's time, and the Son stepped off His rightful position where He's seated again. He was seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, and He took off His garment. What was He clad in? He's a King. He's the King of the universe. And those angels stood silently with wings folded in heaven and watched this that was taking place, Danny Phillips, as the Son, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, stripped Himself of the royal diadem of heaven and took off the crown and laid it at His side. And Brother Curtis, He walked down the golden spiral staircase of heaven from the black velvetness where God has flung the stars and hung them and called them by name. And He passed them and He came and was born of a lowly birth to a virgin named Mary. And they laid Him, because there was no room in the inn, they laid Him down in a manger. Shepherds came. Somebody said, why did shepherds come? Who better to identify the Lamb of God than a shepherd? And when He stood, oh, I'm feeling better, Brother Wayne. When John stood, stood the forerunner of Christ, his mission in life, Connie Joe, to look and say, behold, look and see the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Curtis, they never had sins taken away before, Brother Wayne. They just had them rolled forward. But John said, here he comes. I knew him. I knew him. I knew he was a coming. And here he is. He's the one that takes away the sins of the world. And here he walked down, was born a lowly birth. He submitted himself to the ridicule of a false trial. And they called witnesses, and the only thing they could accuse him of, that he said, in 3 days I'll destroy the temple and I'll build it back in 3 days. If this tabernacle or temple is torn down, he's not speaking of Solomon's temple, but speaking of his own body and temple, the dwelling of the Spirit of God. And Sister Bradley, when they whipped him and lacerated his back, when they took him and nailed him to the cross, and by the way, they did not take his life. He's already said in the book of John, no man takes my life, but I'll lay it down for my friend. Aren't you glad, Gary High, he called us friends, amen. And he laid his life down for us, and they take the bruised, battered body when he had cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then John 19, verse 30, the last cry, the last shout of that crucified Christ, Stephen, come, it is finished. Somebody said, what was it? It's the cry of a sufferer, but it's the shout of a conqueror. He said, I finished the work to which I've come. And they take that bruised body down and carry it gingerly and gently and place it in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Somebody said, why didn't he have his own? Because he wasn't going to need it long, amen. He's just a barnet on a short sojourn, and they lay him down in there. But on that third day, Brother Brian, he kicked the doors off of hell. He walked out of the grave and he said, I've conquered death, hell, and the grave, and have the keys. That's what the Bible, he has the keys, amen. Well, let me hurry. Boy, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. And 40 days, he proves himself. Somebody said, why'd he have to do that? You remember old Peter? Peter got all mixed up, even got to cussing over there, cursing and swearing and denying the Lord. He says to Mary and to those ladies, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. go tell them. Go back to the upper room. He appears on Sunday night. By the way, young people, that's why we ought to go to church on Sunday night, because the Lord comes. Amen. Or to go on Wednesday too, Monday, if you get a chance. And you remember old Thomas was missing? And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe except I put my fingers in those prints, thrust my hand in his side. Next Sunday night, he's there early. And he appears, Jesus appears in the mist. And Thomas immediately confesses, my Lord, my God. He said, blessed art thou, having seen, believe, but more blessed art them that having not seen yet believe. That's us, Brother Danny. I still believe. But he walks outside with that band of disciples, that ragtag group that nobody said he'd get along long enough to do anything. And he takes them outside. And as he's there outside of Jerusalem, gravity loses its hold on his feet and he's lifted up. Acts chapter 1. And those angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see taken up is going to so come in like manner as you've seen him take. Somebody said, what's going on? Aren't you glad those angels are standing by in heaven? And here comes the Son of God. Here comes the Lamb of God. They haven't understood, but they've got the robe ready, Brother Danny. And when he comes back, they slip it on his shoulders and they salute him as the King of Kings. And when he comes in Revelation 1, Curtis, he's not a lacerated, crucified Christ. He's a robe Christ. He is the King. Amen. He is the King. He's robed and robed for eternity. Amen. He's a reigning King. He's a robe King. By the way, 1 John 1:1 begins to reveal to us, our eyes have seen and our hands have handled the word of life. He knew who he was talking about, didn't he? He's robed and he's reigning. Look in verse number 5 again. I need to labor this just a moment. Verse number 5 from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's a reigning king. When John turned to see the voice, he said, I saw a king. He's reigning. He's reigning. He's alive. He has authority. He has power. Not only is he reigning, he's robed. He has that that conveys and signifies power and authority. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But number 3, verse number 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's a redeeming king. Amen. Aren't you glad for that, Brother Mike Hoggard? Amen. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't purchase myself. I couldn't buy or be good enough. And neither can you. It doesn't matter if your dad's a preacher or your mama's a Sunday school teacher. If you go to church every time the doors are open, we're saved by grace. And it's through grace that God saved us and extended the invitation. But there's something supernatural that took place at Calvary. I believe it's 1 Peter that said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Somebody said, preacher, you all wound up over this for nothing. But when I was a boy, you know, way back when, fellas, I was a boy, we didn't have a bathtub. And just a bathtub, didn't have a shower. Started out in a galvanized tub. But we had graduated up to a bathtub. And my mama did strange things. She expected her little mountain men to take baths. We tried to convince her mountain men just took a bath in the spring and that was good. And she said her little mountain men had to take baths. Brother Mike, when we was little, there was 3 of us boys and she'd lay 3 washcloths on the side of the tub. Connie, she'd say, now wash behind your ears. I didn't know I had a back of my neck or the back of my ears, Gary. Or the back of my elbows. I've never seen them. Neither of you. Some of you could testify to that. She'd lay that out there. We'd splash around in there and have fun. It was just little fellas. We'd have fun a big time. Mom would walk in there and she'd say, you boys wash? Yes, ma'am. And that's kind of odd. I thought she was a mind reader back then, Brother Curtis, and she'd say, that's interesting. The washcloths aren't wet. Miss Gloria, my mama did strange things. She bent my ears down and washed behind them with soap, a foreign substance. Scrubbed behind my ears and helped that out and said, looky there. Look at there. Looky there. You know, I'd washed what I could see, but there were things that I could not see and I overlooked them. But aren't you glad for verse number 5, chapter 1, unto him that loved us, amen, that loved us. Somebody said, Brother Craig, were you lovable? No, sir. No, ma'am, and neither were you. We were enmity against God. We were not on God's side. We were going against God, breaking his law. But he loved us so much, Brother Charles, that he stripped the riches of heaven and gave to us Jesus. And Jesus died, bled, and died for my sin so that he could wash me because he loved me. Huh? How much of you did he wash? He got it all. Amen. Huh? Cleanses us from A-double-L sin. All sin. Brother Wayne, when I got down there, I was just a boy, had a cowboy shirt on, you know, didn't have them sissy buttons, had snaps on it. Mama had made it for me, you know. And I come, Brother Lloyd Counts was preaching, boy, the Lord was dealing with my heart. I knew I was a sinner, and he's a squeezing my heart, and juices are running. And I had that shirt out, wiping my nose, and Mama said, Craig, do you need to go? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, I'll go with you. We walked to an altar. I got down there, didn't know how bad I'd been, Brother Brian. And the Holy Spirit began reminding me of things, and I began crying and saying, God, I'm sorry. And Brother Mike, he went to washing me. He went to washing me because he loved me. And he'll do it for you too. Amen. Unto him that loved us and washed us. And washed us in his own blood. Somebody said, that's not pretty. That's what it takes. To cover the black sins of our heart is the red blood of Calvary. Somebody said, he gave one drop for me. I'm convinced he gave it all. He gave it all. Because that's what it took. He cleansed me. Unto him that loved us. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. I like this, don't you? Say amen right there. Makes me feel better. And have made us kings and priests. Verse number 6, unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Notice that. Verse number 6. And hath made us kings and priests. Do you know you're a royal descendant? Do you know that when you get washed in the red blood of Calvary, that he makes you a king? Amen. That don't do as much for you young people as it does for us old people. I don't even have a rich uncle. If any of y'all looking for a rich or a poor nephew... No. Huh? But it's not here. But it's there. And hath made us kings. That means he's crowned me. Huh? Everybody's been caught up, you know, with England and what was that? Will and Kate. William and Kate. And everybody looked at that wedding. You know, it's a fairy tale. And how that when he's going to one of these days be crowned. But aren't you glad, fellas and ladies, that one of these days we're going to receive the crown of reward, a crown of righteousness that waits for us. But right now, Brother Danny Phillips, he's crowned us. We're kings and priests. That'll help somebody right there. You don't have to go to your preacher. You don't have to go to some person to tell them about your faults and your failures and your sins. You have the authority to walk into the throne of God and have an audience, Brother Danny Phillips, in front of God. Huh? And hath made us, I'm in the text, and hath made us kings and priests. Well, cross some of your theology, but we'll go on. He's a robed king. He's a reigning king. He's a redeeming king. We've been crowned again with honor and glory. That which was taken in the fall has been restored through Christ and his cleansing work upon the cross of Calvary. And it's yours and ours by putting our faith in him. Look in verse 7. Behold. That means look and see. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. What is he, preacher? He's reigning. He's robed. He's a redeeming king. But Curtis, we need to tell it like John saw it. He's a returning king. He's coming again. I've already quoted it. Let me look it up and quote it again. The book of Acts chapter 1. Ye men of Jerusalem or Galilee, why stand ye gazing steadfastly into heaven? This same Jesus, not an imposter, the same Jesus that ye see taken up is going to come. He's going to, Connie, is he coming on a clear day? He's coming with clouds. Somebody said, what's the clouds? I've got some ideas. I've seen, therefore, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Huh? Behold, he cometh with clouds. He's a returning king. Who's he coming for? Who's he coming for? Young people, he's coming for those that have washed themselves. But preacher, you've already said when you'd take a bath that you couldn't get yourself clean. But Brother Mike, I made a decision to allow him to wash me. Amen. Huh? Amen. It was just for me, fella, to step out from where I stood in invitation and begin coming to Him. And as I'm coming, He's beginning the washing process. And when I fall prostrate and begin to confess my sin, He continues the washing process. And Brother Mike, when I stand up and I begin walking the Christian journey and I begin taking this Bible and I come to the laver, Connie Joe, I begin washing again. But I've been cleansed by the blood of Calvary. I'm kept by the blood of Calvary. I'll conquer by the blood of Calvary. But He's coming again, and He's coming after those that are ready. How do you know He's coming? Revelation 19. Let's read that together. Revelation 19. Anybody like to ride horses? Everybody likes to ride horses. What's your favorite color of a horse, sir? What color horse you like? Blue shirt, second row. White? Well, that's good. I'm glad you like a white horse. Revelation 19, let me hurry. Hold up there. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness wrath of Almighty God. He had a name written on his vesture and on his thigh, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody said, when's he coming? When he's ready, and he's a coming again. And when Gabriel sounds the trumpet, one of these days there's going to be a getting up day of those that have departed, but also there's going to be a catching away of the saints in the air. But you keep this in mind. He is a returning king, and he's coming with power and authority. Amen. Has a name written on his thigh that no man knows, say he himself. Somebody said, what is that? Let me give you this in closing, important. Brother Danny, when we get to eternity, we'll find that we have not mined the depths, we've not scaled the heights of all that he is for the believer. He's everything that we need. He's everything that we need. In the hour of need, he's got what you need, what you have to have. He is the King. When John sees him, the Word of God, the Spirit of God says, what you see, John, I want you to write in a book. I want you to send it to all the churches which are in Asia. That message is for us, because he's talking about a king who's reigning. He's talking about a king who's robed with power and authority, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the reason he's there is to make intercession for us. And he is our advocate. He's our go-between. He is our covering. And when we come, he looks to the Father and said, I died, I shed my blood for this one. Will you save him? And the answer through eternity has always been, yes, I'll save him. I'll save him, because they're coming through faith in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. He's a redeeming king. He purchases us and washes us in his own blood, but he's coming again. John said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And gave himself an amen in preaching and writing this down. Even so, amen. Do you know him? Young people, you've been involved in church probably your whole lives. You've been in Christmas program. They used to recruit me to be the shepherd. I played all three shepherds at the same time. You've been in Christmas program. You ladies may have played Mary. And there was something that touched your heart when you saw that little baby doll and you laid him in a crib or a manger full of hay. And you fellas standing over there in your bathrobe with a towel on top of your head looking on that. You thought, well, that was a pretty lowly birth. And that's the way he came. But that's not the way he is tonight. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's got a name there, Gary, because it's His name. I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know Him as King? Have you submitted yourself to Him and given yourself to Him as a willing subject? He has the power. By the way, He has the authority as the Creator of the world to have forced us to be in subjection to Him. But He wants it to be willing tonight. Have you made a willing choice to say, I'm going to break with sin and I'm going to live with Jesus and live for Jesus? He's going to be the one in control of my life. He's going to be my King. It's who John said He was. He'll robe us. By the way, we're not robed in our own righteousness, but He's imputed righteousness to us. Because we have none of our own. We can't do enough good works. We can't be good enough, mine, mom, and daddy. We have to have His righteousness given to us, but He does that for us. Okay, He robes us. He's returning. He's coming again. Are you ready? If He was to come tonight, are you ready?